This is the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners
by small business owners. Maybe you shouldn't be laying down.
Ooh, man, but I'm sleepy, Natalie. I'm so tired.
Well, we didn't tell the people our names yet.
Oh, my name is Alex Mucho Sueño Vasquez.
No, just your ordinary name.
Mucho Sueño.
No.
Blanco Dulce Vasquez.
No.
Alex Vasquez.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm still really mad. I'm still really angry.
Why are you so angry?
Why don't you tell people who you are first?
I'm Natalie MacLees, and I don't have any gummy bears.
And that makes me mad.
And Alex is mad, so we're fighting. Like always.
This is like a war of attrition with you. Except I'm always on the losing end of it.
When have you ever brought me gummy bears?
You've never asked for any. And certainly if I didn't have any, I wouldn't say, hey, do you want some? And then you're like, yeah. You didn't forget. You did that on purpose. You did that because you like to hurt me.
I forgot that I ate them all.
Stop trying to sound like you're remorseful when you know you're not. You're just laughing.
I'll get more later.
Fine. You better have them later because you know how sensitive I get when
there's
not gummy bears in the room. Okay, folks.
It's like having a 3-year-old for a co-host.
Yeah. Well, Natalie, you're going to get better one day and you're going to be like an 8-year-old.
I wasn't talking about me.
Oh, who are you talking about?
You.
Well, you know what? Don't get me started on your cats.
What's wrong with my cats?
The podcats are really an issue. They're impacting the quality of the show and the content. And they just stand there. They don't do anything. They just kind of stand there with their ears back and they fart a lot.
They do not fart a lot.
Yeah, Sir poops a lot over there. And then there's the binge and purger cat, like, that always goes... Sounds like
Say
Donald
what you
Duck.
Like about my cats, but they both nailed this week's challenge.
Yeah, why don't we talk about last week's challenge, Nat? Ugh.
Are we keeping you up, Alex?
Oh, I mean, it's getting pretty close to my bedtime, so... I get really sleepy, and then I get really cranky when I don't have my gummy bears.
You really are like a toddler.
A little bit. I'm just very emotional right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you want, like, your teddy bear and a blankie?
Obviously, I don't need a blankie, but I do have a teddy here. And his name is Tim.
Tim the teddy bear?
Tim the teddy bear. But look... Tim the teddy bear only cares about one thing, and that's last week's challenge. So, why don't we get into it?
The challenge was to get enough sleep.
Oh, man. I feel like this was an important challenge because I've been slacking off on sleep.
As have I.
I have probably been getting closer to 6 hours of sleep. Because I've been going to bed late, pretty close to midnight, or even a little bit later, actually.
And then getting up at 6?
Getting up at, like, 6 to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And setting an alarm to do it, too. So I'm definitely have not been getting enough sleep. So this was a good challenge to kind of get back into a good habit that I had last year, which I was getting up at 5:30 a.m., or 4:30 a.m., rather. Which is a little extreme,
yeah,
I think.
A little on the early side.
A little on the early side, but I can do better than what I've been doing. So, do you want to tell everyone about what you did, or do you want me to start off with what I did?
I'll go first.
All right, let's hear it.
I tried to be more conscientious about not using screens starting an hour before I wanted to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I also set a bedtime each day and paid attention to what time it was instead of getting carried away working on projects and doing all kinds of stuff. I I paid attention to the clock and made sure that I got to bed on time. And I think that it made a big difference, actually.
Yeah.
I think kind of the bad habit I have is I get up at the same time every day, even if I went to bed late.
Yes.
So staying up late just means losing sleep, you know, like that little extra step of going to bed on time. And then I think being really careful about screen time before bedtime.
Now, do you keep screens in your room?
I do not.
Okay. Smart.
I've never liked having a TV in the bedroom.
Yeah, me neither.
And I know people who sleep with a TV on. I don't understand how anyone can do that.
No. But yeah, I'm totally with you on the no TV in the bedroom sort of thing. So a couple of years back, I adopted the same no screens in the bedroom, you know, when I was going to bed too. So I definitely think it's a good thing. And, you know, I have a client who made a movie having to do with just her theory on just the radio waves produced by our devices. Uh-huh. It can be harmful to us, especially if you keep them in your room. And I think when I heard that, even though I don't necessarily know if it's true or not, it made me a little paranoid. And, you know, I also thought, yeah, well, why do I need a phone in my room? Why do I need, you know, the iPad in my room? I don't need any of these things. I prefer to not have them close by.
Yeah, the only exception I make is I do read my Kindle before I go to sleep, but it is a Kindle Paperwhite and not the Kindle Fire. So it's not backlit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a Kindle. And one day I might actually invest in one because they seem like really nifty tools. Little readers.
I really like it for traveling because I can take so many books with me on a trip.
That's also a really good point, too. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I'm mostly real, actual, physical book type of person myself.
Yeah, I like real physical books, too. I just like books.
Yeah. I wasn't super regimented. Well, actually, no, I think I was. So I said to myself that 10:30 was going to be my knockout time. Every day since we last recorded, 10:30 was the time. And then the other thing that I did was I just set an alarm. Well, not actually, I didn't set an alarm, but I knew that I wanted to sleep for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I didn't want to go over that, and I didn't necessarily want to go under that. And, you know, I went to bed. I didn't set like an actual alarm, but I have lights set to a timer that turn on at a specific time. Like you, I tend to get up early on my own. Mm-hmm. On each of these days, I just woke up earlier than the lights would come on. And, you know, I was still getting like 7.5 hours of sleep. But it really does come down to committing to a time, I think, just shutting down at a specific time.
Yeah, and making sure that you are watching the clock and keeping track, not getting lost in doing something. I guess you could set a little alert or something to go off on your phone or some kind of timer in your house to tell you, go to bed.
Yeah.
Get ready for bed. Bed is in an hour.
I'm going to record you doing that, and that can be my new notification. You know what? Which reminds me. I have two things I have to remember here, but so I had this old roommate, and it wasn't the going to bed thing that was an issue, but I had such a hard time waking up in the morning because I would not get up with my alarm, actually. That's how heavy a sleeper I used to be. It would just drive my roommate nuts. My alarm would wake him up before he had to go to work. And he was sympathetic to a point, like he got it, but he was just really upset. And then one day, you know, I come home from work and he hands me a CD and he says, hey, you should play this on your CD player as an alarm. And what it was is it was a song, Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees, but he dubbed his voice over certain parts of the song. He'd be like, you would hear, Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees. People say we're not monkeying around. And then, you know, my roommate Kevin would be like, yeah, I'm not monkeying around. Get up or I'm going to come in there and I'm going to club you. And it was just a bunch of physical threats and everything throughout the CD in order to get me out of bed.
Did that work?
No. But anyway, so just so we all know, violence is never the answer. Enough for that anecdote. We should probably edit that story out, I think, but whatever. So anyway, but...
What was your other story?
Well, it's not a story, actually, but it goes along with one of the recommendations as far as setting an alarm or a notification, right? After a couple days, one of the things that I realized is that I have a bunch of Philips Hue lights.
Uh-huh.
So those can be set to a timer.
Yes.
And at 10 o'clock p.m., the lights slowly dim until like 10:30 when they shut off.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
You know, it's kind of like having, you know, what's that app for the Mac that kind of dims your screen?
Flux.
So it's kind of like having Flux. So slowly the lights kind of dim and they eventually shut off. So
do you have them turn red like sunset?
Oh, I could do that. I could do that because I have the color ones too. I have the color ones in my living room and I just have like a standard one in my bedroom. But you know, and that's not necessary, right? Like, I mean, just pick a time and go to sleep. Like you don't need any apps or anything like that. You don't need special fancy light bulbs. What you need is to commit to yourself. Make a routine and go to bed on time.
Yeah, because I think establishing a routine is one of the best ways to combat insomnia.
It combats insomnia, and I'm absolutely convinced that it makes you more focused and intentful as you go about your day.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
Yeah.
So here we are, two well-rested podcast hosts.
Yeah, I am so sleepy, but you know what? I'm starting to get my 16th win, Natalie. 16th, because you know what's coming next?
Our second podcast guest?
You better believe it. I think it's time. All right, folks. So I'm super excited to introduce you all to Jay Gibb. Jay Gibb is the founder of a product called Cloud Sponge, and Cloud Sponge helps businesses accelerate their marketing through a referral marketing product that allows users to connect their address books and refer people and get discounts and all sorts of stuff. Companies like Airbnb have used referral marketing to boost their user base exponentially. So Jay's going to talk to us a little bit about his challenge this week for us, which has to do with referrals. So Jay, why don't you take it away?
Well, thanks for having me, Alex. It's great to be on the show.
You have a challenge for us, but before we get into the challenge, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Cloud Sponge and just how you got into business and started kicking it up?
Okay. Yeah. The challenge that I have for you and the audience is inspired by the work I do at Cloud Sponge. So it'll be a good little preamble for that. We're a software as a service company. We sell plugins and APIs to companies that allow their users to access contact information from their address books without leaving our client's website. That's a bit of a mouthful. It's best explained by example. This is something that most people have seen. If you use the internet, you've seen a form field where the website is asking you to type in a comma-separated list of your friends' email addresses. And maybe that's send them a coupon or a referral code or GoFundMe campaign or a e-card from Hallmark or something like that, right? Usually, right beside that field, often you'll see an ad from address book link, or sometimes you'll see a Gmail ad from your Gmail, Yahoo Mail, AOL Mail, Outlook.com Mail. Those links, the Gmail links or the ad from address book links, those are powered by Cloud Sponge. We basically provide the software that allows the user of this website to authenticate with their address book, give our client permission to read their contacts, and then we can display their contacts, you know, in an alphabetical list with checkboxes and searching and sorting and filtering to make it really easy for them to find and select the people from their address book that they want to send the thing to. That basically makes those fields or those forms perform dramatically better. Like it's a massive improvement, and there's a reason why most of the best technology companies on the internet do it.
Absolutely. And this is something that I've seen in use all over the place. And, you know, it's almost just like this innocuous feature, too. Like, it's something I don't really notice, something that I wouldn't even think about, like just having a separate service that powers that. But companies use Cloud Sponge to really just grow their user base. And I'm sure you've seen just dramatic or heard stories or use cases of just dramatic growth by integrating a system like this, correct?
Yeah. Some of the most successful referral programs out there have it. And, you know, famously, this is part of the original thing that Facebook used to get really large, where, you know, when you signed up a Facebook account, they would ask you, just like every social network does now, like LinkedIn, Facebook, Yelp, Twitter, like every single one of them, you name it, they have this feature where they want you to upload your address book, and then they're going to compare everybody in your address book to everybody who's got an account on the platform, and they're going to show you two lists. They're going to show you one list that's everybody that you know who's already here, and another list that's everybody you know who isn't here yet. And if you're, you know, the one list, you can just, you know, one click and sort of follow them all or connect with them all. And then the other list, you can invite them. Sometimes they give you an option to invite those people. You know, it's something that super popular functionality for social networks, for invitation forms, for referral programs, for content sharing. And you're right. It does kind of fly under the radar. It's something that, you know, I think a lot of companies assume that if they want to have it, they have to build it till they do a couple Google searches and discover us. So most of the time, companies big and small are really happy to have discovered us because, you know, we take a pretty big, tedious engineering effort off their plate for a small monthly fee.
It does fly under the radar for, you know, a lot of different types of businesses. And I would say, you know, maybe even businesses that kind of exist further down the revenue stream. You know, I know that, you know, for a lot of the work that Natalie and I do, just doing a lot of work with, you know, content management systems and, you know, online marketing brochureware sites and e-commerce sites, that's a utility that would be, you know, really useful. And this is something that you and I have talked about before. It's just something that we don't see getting used. Like, people are not leveraging that part of the marketing stack, if you will.
Yeah, what we find is that the companies that are really easy for us to sell to are the ones that have growth teams. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, that's our bread and butter right now, is these teams, these companies that have several, you know, maybe at least a dozen, maybe 20 employees, and somebody in the company is kind of responsible for growth, all the way to big companies like Airbnb and Yelp and GoFundMe that have hundreds and hundreds of employees, and there's a whole department of people, you know, focused on growth. But I don't see a lot of small businesses that just a couple people or two or three people really, you know, focusing a lot of energy around growth. And that's kind of why I decided on the challenge that I brought to you today.
Okay. Well,
he's such a pro. He just like segued right into it.
I know. He was done talking to me. He just wanted to go right into it. So,
well, don't let me rush you. If you want to chat.
No. No, I love chatting with you, and, you know, I know that I'll see you sooner or later, whether you like it or not. There will be more time for chatting, but why don't we get into the challenge and tell our listener, who is my mom, I know for sure,
and my mom
and Jay listens.
He's going to listen to himself.
And he's going to love it. Without further ado, Jay, bring the pain.
As a byproduct of selling Cloud Sponge, I work with companies all the time on their referral programs and on the way that they're sort of trying to grow their businesses. What I thought was appropriate for your audience and for you guys too, because I think you guys always, you know, take on these challenges personally as well, is to think about all the customers that you're serving now and that you've served in recent memory, and pick one of them and just ask them to help you grow your business. It's something that I think most of us forget to do. And most people that you've had a good experience with and you've provided a lot of value to, they'd be delighted to do that for you. But most of us don't ask. Most of us don't just take that one step and say, hey, by the way, I'm trying to grow my business and I could use your help. It's a pretty simple challenge, I think. But it will take a little bit of courage, I think, for some people, because it's asking for a favor, and, you know, sometimes that's a little awkward.
And I personally love this challenge because I have a hard time asking for a hand up. I really do.
I don't think I have ever asked my clients for a referral.
Let me be more specific. So I deliberately phrase that as to help somebody or ask them to help you grow your business. And I have a few examples for what that might look like. Because sometimes asking for a referral, maybe it's not a referral that you should be asking for. It really depends on what kind of business you have. It's kind of hard if you have a retail commerce store to ask somebody to refer a friend. Like it's easier in services, I think. You know, a referral is certainly the best if you have a customer who has a network of people that include your ideal customers, then asking them to refer you to those people or one of those people would certainly be wise. If that's not the case, some other things that you can ask for to help, you know, to get them to help you grow your business would be, for example, a post on social media where they just write about how they benefited from your business. You can ask them to, would you mind writing a couple paragraphs about what I did for you? Tell the world about this experience that we had together. So it's kind of like a testimonial. It's kind of like a, you know, something like a, it's not a direct referral to an individual, but it is some social proof and then getting out there to their audience and singing your praises. Another example, if you're not comfortable asking for that, or if you can't think of somebody that would respond well to that, would be to ask for a review. So there's review platforms out there like Google reviews and Facebook reviews, Yelp reviews. If you're a services company like DigiSavvy or Purple Pen, you can ask for a review on Clutch or one of these sort of agency review sites. You know, to get somebody that you've delivered a ton of value to that loves you professionally to just take some action that helps you grow your business is basically the challenge. And I think that can take whatever form you're comfortable with.
I think this is an amazing challenge, and it's amazingly simple, and it's not hard to do, and it doesn't have to be something where you're saying to some, because I always just feel like it's such a like a kind of a spammy thing to just ask someone, hey, you know, do you know anyone who wants to give me money, like, or I mean, it, you know, that's how I see it, and I know that that's the wrong perspective to look at it from, because, you know, ultimately I'm trying to grow my business, grow my consultancy and what have you. Part of it is just saying, hey, you know, this is something that I really need to do. And then also there's the other end of it, which is you mentioned, you know, asking for reviews or testimonials or just sharing something positive about your business. And I think both of those things are totally valid and worthwhile things to ask for. So you don't have to necessarily get, you know, ask for your next project referral, right? But you can do something that can benefit your business in other ways too.
Yeah, a little bit of social proof that you can do the things you say you can do.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of things to reduce the anxiety around it to consider would be to ask somebody immediately following some kind of positive interaction you've had. So you fix a bug or you deal with a support request or you design something that they like, fix their sink or whatever it is that your business you're in, to say, you know, right after that, when you've just had this experience and it's fresh and it's not like you're calling back the next day when it, you know, some time has passed and it's a little weird. You say right there while you're at the end of a transaction of some kind, that's a perfect time to do that, where it doesn't feel weird to either party, and you know, you're more likely to get somebody who's really happy to just say, yeah, absolutely, how could I not? Like, how can I help? And I think in my experience, whenever I've done that, I've never had somebody say no. I've had some people say yes and then not do it, I guess. But I've never had it be weird where somebody just said no. And for bonus points, like, this is something that we've found a way in our company to systematize, right? That's the kind
right.
of the next step here is the first thing to do is just to do it once to feel it and get through the part where you need some courage. And then the next thing is to find a way to systematize it and make sure that you're doing it all the time. You're populating that review site with 5-star reviews and asking for them all the time, just the same way that you do for this podcast.
Yeah. You know, like just in terms of systematizing it, just as I'm kind of spinning the gears and everything, I know that, you know, I handle support ticketing through Help Scouts. I also use Zapier. And, you know, I can think if there's ways to maybe trigger stuff based off of when you close a ticket, you know, maybe firing off an email to that person saying, hey, you know, how do we do if we did well? then hey, why don't you leave us a review or share what we did for your business on the net or something like that. So that could be one possible way to systematize it, like an easy way to do it.
What do you think, Natalie?
Well, I was just thinking that I've seen my business partner, Nathan, do this with one of our plugins, where if he helps somebody on a support ticket and they write back and say, oh, that fixed it, thank you so much, he writes back and says, hey, great, if you're happy, we'd appreciate it if you could go write a review. I know a lot of the reviews that we've gotten have come from those people who pretty much usually go do it right away.
Yeah, we do that with Capterra and G2 Crowd for Cloud Sponge, and we find if they don't do it right away, they probably won't do it. Like, they generally won't come back to it a few days later. But most of the time, if they say yes, or, you know, if it's been a good interaction, they just, it only takes a minute, right? And they're happy. They're in that moment where they're happy. So usually they'll do it right away.
It works.
Yeah. No, it totally works. So, well, Jay, do you have any other parting thoughts or anything like that to share with our listeners or us here before we kick you off the plank?
Don't forget to say thank you. That's really important. Once they do this thing, whatever it is that you're asking them to do, say thank you, because it reinforces the behavior and they may do it again, especially if it's a referral. They refer somebody to make that phone call the next day or send them some snickerdoodles and just say, hey, thanks for that referral. It's important.
And this is how we know that Jay is from Canada, because he's very polite and says, please and thank you and I'm sorry.
Always?
No, but I mean, usually.
See. Not always in that order.
Yeah, not always in that order. Definitely, probably. But Jay, so you have the floor for the next several seconds here. So why don't you tell people how they can connect with you and find all the important stuff about you and your business online?
Anybody who's got an interest in having address book access on their websites can check out cloudsponge.com. Reach me at jay@cloudsponge.com. And right now my favorite social network is LinkedIn. So you can just search for it for my name, Jay Gibb on LinkedIn. And I think I'll be the first result.
Oh, and you know what? I'm going to quiz you on one more thing before you go. So Jay here allegedly says he listens to the podcast. So what's one of the last things, what's one of the last challenges you did, Jay? Tell us.
What is one of the last challenges? I think I've done two of them. I did the About Us page challenge.
Nice.
But I did it in the form of a document that is currently being transformed into a new website. So I didn't do it on my current live website, but I did author the whole page in a Google Doc for a project that we're doing right now to rebuild our website on WordPress. So I'm going to count that. It'll be live sometime in the next month or so.
Yeah, I think that counts.
That totally counts.
It was hard to do. I mean, I put a lot of energy into it, and I don't intend to do too much editing between where it is and the live website, so I'm counting it. And then the other one I did was a mailing list, sending an email to your shameful, neglected...
You know what? I received one of those, by the way.
Oh, good. So I probably put your email address on that, because it was before GDPR came into effect, so...
Yep. You know what? Yeah, don't even get me started on GDPR. That thing's a big old cluster. But, well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us and share this awesome challenge. You know, I've already got some ideas kicking around for how I can do this very thing within the next week.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And, you're awesome. All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Jay. Bye.
So what did you think of our interview with Jay?
You know, look, here's what I think about Jay. And here's what I think about our interview of Jay. I think Jay is a very smart, very patient business owner. And he has a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight. And, you know, I think the simplicity and insight that he has really comes through in the interview. Asking for that review, I know personally that I have a hard time asking for that hand up, that referral, that review and whatnot. And NJ is right. People are happy to give it, provided you provide a good service.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the times that you've gone somewhere and had a really good experience, aren't you always happy to tell people about it afterward?
Yeah. I leave reviews all the time. And for those of you who are listening, I'm totally a level 8 Google guide represent.
Hey, stop bragging about it.
I'm going to be a level 8 and I'm going to keep on bragging about it as long as I can. So I totally think that it's one of those things that I'm happy to tell people about things that I like. And I won't shut up about it. I love my hosting platform, which is Pantheon. I love LAMP. I love Draw Attention, which is a really nifty plugin. And, you know, Simply Schedule Appointments is really cool too. You know, so I'm really passionate about these things.
Yeah, you can keep naming all of my products.
And Staging Pilot's really cool.
Yeah, what do you think of Purple Pen?
I think that's pretty cool too. But no, I'm...
I think DigiSavvy is pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. My mom tells me that too.
And that Active Campaign that works with Ninja Forms.
Hey, I have a Caldera Forms one coming out too.
Eventually.
Very exciting. But yeah, so what did you think? Like, how are you going to implement Jay's recommendations into your own business?
I really like that he gave us three options.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't always have to directly ask for a referral. You could ask for some social media love, or you could ask for a review on some kind of public site wherever your clients or customers like to hang out. So I really liked that because I feel like it gives you a lot of options and it feels less intimidating, I think, to ask for something like a review than to ask for a referral.
Totally.
But I think it's still really helpful.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we're gonna nail this thing this week, right?
Absolutely.
Ouch.
You always say ouch.
I know. She just totally smacked me in the forehead. Natalie, how can people keep up with us with the Do Weekly podcast? Like, where do they subscribe? Where do they listen? And all that stuff. What do they need to know?
They have to go down to a pineapple under the sea.
No, that's not true.
Okay, they can get the show notes and leave us comments and find out more about us at our website, doweeklypodcast.com. They can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at doweeklypodcast. And if they would like to subscribe to hear more of these awesome, amazing episodes, they can do that on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or they can subscribe by RSS or email.
Or wherever you listen to fine podcasts.
Sure.
For the Do Weekly podcast, I am Alex Vasquez.
I'm Natalie MacLees. I'm not a weird robot. See you next week.
See you next week, whether you like it or not.
You need more sparkly water?
No.
Do you want more flat water?
No.
Do you want some gummy bears?
Yeah.
I don't have any.
Oh, come on. Stop offering me shit you don't have. Why would you ask me that? Is this thing recording?
Yes.
God damn it, Natalie. Stop.
Alex, why are you so upset over gummy bears? My goodness, go to the grocery store.
Natalie, you know how I get about sugar. FML.
You have such a hard life.